Thank you and good afternoon. Someone has said there seems to be no cure for those who are allergic to work. Welcome to Bible Meditations. We appreciate your listening to our program, and we do hope that you'll tell others about it. We like to study the Bible together, and we enjoy having you as a part of our audience. We want to return now to our study of the fact that there are promises given by God, exceeding great and precious promises, but that there are sometimes people who make promises for God that are not backed up by the teachings of the Bible. God is under obligation to keep His word, and He never lies. But God is not obligated to keep our word and what we say we're going to do along those lines. The only way I can know what God has promised is to read the Bible. The Bible is the mind of God revealed. Therefore, if there is a promise in the Bible, I know that that came from God, and God will keep it. But when a man makes a promise for God without Bible backing, then God is not obligated to keep that promise. We've noted that some are telling us that Jesus will be here on the earth once more. Well, the Bible says the Lord will return, but the Bible does not say that Jesus will be here on the earth when He does come back. Rather, points out, according to 1 Thessalonians 4:13 through 18, that the Lord will be in the air and will meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Again, some have said that the Lord promised to set up an earthly kingdom. Yet there is no such promise in the Word of God. Christ's kingdom was promised, and that kingdom began on the day of Pentecost, as you read in the second chapter of the book of Acts. The predictions about it in the book of Daniel chapter 2, and also in the second chapter of the book of Isaiah, the predictions refer to a time, and the time element is in the last days, which is identified by the Apostle Peter in Acts 2 and verse 17. These are the last days, the days in which God speaks to man by His Son. Now the kingdom was to come at that time. Jesus had promised, "Some of you here shall not taste of death until you've seen the kingdom of God come with power." Well, those people, during their lifetime, saw the kingdom come. Doesn't that present quite a dilemma for a person who tells me that the kingdom is not here yet, that we're still looking for the kingdom? If that's the case, then there has to be someone somewhere who was living when Jesus made that statement. That would make them about 2,000 years of age. You know anybody that old? Obviously, the kingdom came during the lifetime of some of the people Jesus was talking about. Therefore, the kingdom has already come, as the second chapter of the book of Acts points out. How long was Christ to reign over His kingdom? Well, Paul reasons about that in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 24 through 26, when he tells us that when Christ returns, then cometh the end, He will put down rule and power and authority. According to the doctrine that people are teaching that the Lord will have an earthly kingdom, they tell us that the Lord will take up His rule and power and authority. But Paul says He'll put it down. It started on Pentecost, and He's reigning and ruling right now over His kingdom. He'll continue to rule over that kingdom until He returns at the end, and He then will put down all rule and power and authority. Friends, don't look for God to set up an earthly kingdom. That's a promise of man without biblical backing. The Lord set up a kingdom, not an earthly kingdom, a spiritual kingdom, and that kingdom will continue to exist until the Lord returns again. Then the Lord will give up rule and power and turn the kingdom back to his Father in heaven. Another promise that some people have made for God that God didn't make is the promise that God will save everyone. We're living in an age where it's not popular at any time to say anything against what somebody else believes or teaches. And therefore, religious doctrine of all sorts has gone without any check, and people are not being required to have Bible backing for what they say. We simply are told you mustn't say anything against what somebody else thinks in religious matters. Well, that isn't true to the Lord. It is not true to the apostles, and it certainly isn't true to what the Bible teaches for you and I today. But will God save everyone? Well, certainly he wants everybody to be saved. I can read that in 2 Peter 3 and verse 9. The Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God doesn't want anybody to be lost. He wants all to repent. Then I look also at 1 Timothy 2 and verse 4, where Paul says, "This is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth." So I know that it's God's will that everybody be saved. Well, is there a promise that God will save everyone? No, friends, no such promise exists. Even though God wants all people to be saved, some people will turn him down. The invitation of Matthew 11, 28 through 30, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light," indicates that you and I have a decision to make. We decide, will we follow the Lord or will we not follow him? Our hope is that you're encouraged to follow his will and you'll listen to that invitation. But remember, those who refuse to accept the invitation are not going to be saved. Well, we appreciate being with you again today. Invite you to listen tomorrow when we'll continue with this particular subject. It's good to be with you, and let me remind you, it was Jesus who said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." We now return you to our announcer.